Great. We just ripped that picture off of Hannah's Facebook page. I'm not sure she'll be impressed with us putting that one up. However, it does sum her up quite well. Great. Well, before I preach, I was thinking this morning, it was Father's Day, and my dad was up here praying just now, and excuse me. And yesterday I was on Zoom calls all day with some young ministers in Assemblies of God, and part of what we were doing in the day was talking through some of the values of Assemblies of God. And so we had to, you know, on a Zoom, just talk about what it is. And so I was asking them to you know, just tell them which values of AOG resonate with them. And so being a leader, you have to start yourself, don't you? And so I started by talking about the one that resonates with me, and one of them is integrity, and that was what I talked about. And I just talked about my dad. Those of you that know my dad will know that that's the case. And what he says he will do is what he does. You know, there's not anything different behind the scenes. And I told a story, which I'm not going to tell this morning because it's too long, but I just remembered a different story. When I was, quite young, probably it was late 70s or early 80s, my dad found a £50 note. In those days, £50 is worth quite a lot more than it is now. Probably about half a week's wages then, I reckon. But he found it in a field gateway, we lived and worked on a farm and all of that. So he took it to the police station. Lots of people would have kept it anyway. And the police said, it's very unlikely anyone will claim it. We'll let you know in 6 weeks and it'll be yours. But that's not enough for my dad to take it to the police station. So he asked around all the farmers, neighbors, or everyone, did you see anyone in the field gate? And eventually somebody said, oh, we saw such and such a family looking at the cows over the gate. So my dad drove wherever it was and gave them back their £50, of which they were very grateful. And I just think that example to us as kids is something incredible that we can, and it's not just happening within families, is it? That we can be that example of integrity or generosity or faith or servanthood or all of the things that we hold dear as the family of God. We can be that example to others and show them those things. And what a great thing it is if we can be the person that somebody says, I want to be like them when I grow up. When I grow up, I want to be like my dad. Great, I want to read to you from Luke chapter 5. This is the passage that Mary Jane read to us last week. And as she was preaching last week, I was scribbling stuff down because there were all sorts of thoughts going through my head. So Luke chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 1. And this is right at the beginning of Jesus. In fact, at the very, very beginning of Jesus' ministry and by the Sea of Galilee. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push out into the water. So he sat on the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. At this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they'd caught. as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. You know, that bit that caught my attention last week was just where Peter's response is, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me." What a response to meeting, and what a response to the revelation of Jesus. You know, there's something really galling when you work really hard at a skill. You might have been practicing something for months, and then somebody else comes along and picks it up straight away. It's really annoying, isn't it? Somebody's, you know, you've worked really hard at doing something and you know, whatever it might be, and then somebody just finds it easy. And you know, in a sense, it's not so much about them finding it easy. It's just you're frustrated that you worked so hard at it. As Mary Jane was speaking to us last week, I just thought about Peter, who's been fishing all of his life, and he's been working hard, and he still can't catch any fish. And suddenly Jesus comes along and fills two boats with fish just at his word. It's not fair, is it? As I thought about that, I thought especially this, fishermen love to tell other people how to do it, don't they? Grant's back there. I'm sure, Grant, you tell people how you... There's a picture somewhere on your Facebook of you holding this massive... What is it? A carp. See, I know nothing about fishing. And you know, Grant is tall, and the fish is big. That was a few years ago, wasn't it? Or have you caught it? I think you've caught that one several times, haven't you? It's down in the Hythe Canal somewhere. And I'm sure when Grant gets together with other fishermen, they're telling each other how to catch the fish, what bait to use, what time of day, you know, all of that stuff. I know nothing, so I'm not going to go any further than that. But they love to tell each other, don't they? And they, you know, they've got the best way. And I bet Peter was like that as well. I bet Peter loved to tell everyone how to catch fish. And then Jesus comes along, who's a builder. You know, he's a carpenter, probably more general builder. That's the better translation of the word used. And he fills the boat twice over. It's not fair. Peter's an expert, and Jesus shows up and tells him how to fish. And here's the thing that I really want to pick out this morning. There's a moment here where Peter is confronted by a new reality. His life changes in a moment, right then and there, because he's met this guy, Jesus. He might have seen him around a while. He might have even grown up with him. But there comes this moment where he realizes you can catch fish supernaturally. Everything that he has learned and all his expertise means nothing, because Jesus can do it by the word of his mouth. There's a moment where he's saying, "Everything that I know physically, all my education, everything my dad taught me about fishing, but there's a whole other world out there that I knew nothing about, the supernatural realm. And Jesus can do something in the supernatural that changes things, and they fished all night and caught nothing, and now their boats are full." And that moment of revelation is something that every one of us needs. We all need to understand that there's something outside of the physical realm. There's a supernatural realm that we have to get. First of all, we have to get an understanding of. But more than that, we have to become part of it. It becomes part of us. We learn to access it. And I was reading this week from John 15, 16, 17, where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And he says, "You will do greater things than I have done." And this morning, for some of you, it's going to be a reminder. For some of you, I hope that it is the revelation that Peter had. There's something outside of the physical. There's something greater. Peter's new reality, my best is not enough. I've been fishing all night and caught nothing. There's another event on the lake. Jesus comes and calms the storm, and they said, who is this that the wind and the waves obey him? Because somehow the supernatural can control the physical. Somehow Jesus can speak a word, peace be still, and the storm finishes. It's gone. And the challenge for us this morning is, are we just living in the natural, the physical realm? Or have we got this revelation that Peter got on that day and throughout those 3 years, the disciples gradually more and more began to understand what it meant to be connecting the physical and the spiritual together, the supernatural. And here's the trouble, is that we all know what it means to get by in the physical realm. We can all do what Peter did, go out every day and work hard, blood, sweat and tears, and catch some fish and provide for our family and do those things, because we know what it takes. You know, here in the West, our values are this: if you work hard, you can achieve something. You know, the Americans would say it's the American dream. I don't think it's the American dream. It's just Western values, isn't it? If we work hard, we can achieve something. We can feed our family. We can be a success. But let me tell you this, and this is not news to you: the kingdom of God does not work that way. And these values of our society, they're good values to have good character. They're good values, but there's something more than that. The revelation that Peter comes to that day, in one sense, is this, because his response to Jesus' revelation is not, wow, look at you, you're God. It's, God, forgive me, a sinner. God, forgive me, a sinner. And I think the revelation that he came to today, and, you know, I wrote in my notes, and I'm not quite sure about the theology of this, but self-reliance is a sin. Now, maybe not a sin, but I tell you what, you can't get into heaven relying on yourself. You're not going to get into the kingdom of God by your own strength, by your own gifting, by your own piety, or even your own, you know, there's one guy came to Jesus, wasn't there, and he said, what commandments should I keep? And Jesus said, you know, do the law, serve God, and all that. He said, I've done all that since I was a child. And Jesus said, one thing you lack, go and sell your stuff and give to the poor. And it's that message that Jesus said to his disciples immediately: it's easier for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Not because the rich stuff is wrong, but because if that's where your values are, if that's where you're relying on, if you're relying on stuff or self or your own gifting or all of those things, it's laying that stuff down and saying, Jesus, I need you. I cannot do this by myself. Matthew 18, Jesus tells, in fact, there's a passage there, but summarize, it says, unless you become a little like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless you come in faith and in trust and in simplicity and say, Jesus, I need you, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I thought to myself, and I'm not going to dwell on these very long, but there are values that we have as a society which would almost prevent us. You know, in the same way that Jesus said it's harder for a rich man, well, there are some things of our society, and I'm going to list three, but there must be hundreds, which if we hold on to them, they prevent us. In the same way that it's easier for a rich man to go through it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. You know, there are some things, it's easier for us, it's harder for us if we hold on to these things to get into the kingdom of God. The first one I wrote in my notes here is determination. I don't know if you remember, a few years ago, John Dean made a video, which for Facebook, it was incredibly funny. And it was him being like a teacher, ready to go to school, waking up in the morning saying, "I can do this." And then it goes through a load of scenes and basically repeats over and over again, "I can do this." And then he pours a whole kettle into a whole pot of coffee and drinks the coffee. "I can do this." And it's that determination of, "I'm going to get through this, even though it's difficult. I can do it." And in a sense, that's a value of our society. We can be as determined as we like, but determination won't get you to heaven. Determination won't get you into the kingdom of God. In fact, it might be harder, I wrote in my notes, for a stubborn person, but read determined there. It might be harder for a stubborn person to get into the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And I speak that as a stubborn person. I speak that as a person who it's hard to change my mind. To be stubborn is to be proud. It's to believe yourself to be right and not deviate from that. And Sarah will tell you that I know that I'm right all the time. In fact, I did a personality test a few years ago, and there were about 30 of us in the room, and I was the one that came out like as the most knowing that I'm always right. And so you know, that's the thing that I have to watch for, because it's harder. I think when you are so determined and you know that you're right, actually to admit your need of Jesus is tough. To admit, to say, "I cannot do this on my own." 1 Samuel 15, verse 23 says this, "Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshipping idols." I just wrote in my notes, humble yourself. The example I could think of in the Bible was Pharaoh, who, you know, Moses went and said, "Let my people go," and he hardened his heart. He became even more determined, even more stubborn. If you don't soften your heart before God, he's going to do something that will soften it. And Pharaoh, you know, it didn't end well, did it? So, you know, I'd say to you, you know, soften your heart. If you're like me, if you're a stubborn, if you think you're right. There are a few around the room. I'm seeing some of you smiling right now. The second thing that I've put in my notes, and as I said before, that I could list a whole bunch of things, and you need to be saying, "God, what is it that is in me? What is the thing that I hold on to?" But the second thing that I wrote is that is so valuable in our society is education. Now, I'm not talking necessarily about school and academics, because I think Peter was educated in being a fisherman. He knew what that meant. You know, he'd been through an apprenticeship or whatever. Some of the very best things in life, one of them being education, are also the danger of keeping us out of the kingdom of God. Our education and our culture of rationality can try and give us a rational explanation for everything. But there isn't a rational explanation for a whole bunch of fish jumping into a net and filling two boats at the wrong time of day to fish. And, you know, if you were a fisherman, you'd know that that wasn't a good time to go fishing. And Peter was an expert and he was educated in fishing, yet God chose this moment to teach him that he needs more than skills and he needs more than education. And the fact is, this morning our education or our determination or whatever it might be that is the thing that is the value that, in a sense, we could look at you and say, yeah, they're great at that, but actually we have to lay those things down and say, Jesus, I need you. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 27 says, God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And that's slightly out of context, but the reality is that we cannot explain rationally salvation or the supernatural or all of those things, and yet we know that they're there. We know that it goes on, and we have to just put our faith and our trust. The final thing that I just wrote in my notes, I titled it networking, but I mean relationships. You know, sometimes in our world, you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. You can get somewhere and be somebody because you know somebody. And that's the way the world works, in a sense. But your relationships with other people are not going to get you into the kingdom of God. Actually, the only relationship that matters is your relationship with Jesus. It's your relationship of coming to him in repentance, humbling yourself, saying, I need you. I need you. I am unable. And relationships are fantastic. We love one another, and church is all about that. But actually, we're all in the relationship we are with one another because we are children. We've heard all about that this morning. God is our Father. We are his children. All of these, in a sense, are kingdom values. To be determined is great. To be educated is great. To have great relationships are brilliant. But actually, if we're not willing to lay that stuff down, we cannot pick up what Jesus needs us to be, which is trusting and relying on him. You know, the irony of this story is this. Peter's best ever fishing day is the day he gave up fishing. He's filled two boats. I was trying to imagine my reaction. If it were my job to be a fisherman, and I could go out, do what Jesus said, my goodness, we can be rich. This time next year, Rodney, we'll be millionaires. Let's take Jesus fishing with us every time. But that's not Peter's reaction. It's, God, forgive me, a sinner. His reaction isn't, wow, all our problems are solved. We can be rich. My fishing trips every day, I'm not going to have to fish all night. I can just go out for 5 minutes and fill the boat. And we can corner the market on fishing in the Sea of Galilee. We can feed the whole of, you know, the population of all of those towns along the coast. And he says, Jesus, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Forgive me, a sinner. Because here's the key, we encounter God. That day, Peter went out in the boat with a good teacher. And he had a moment of revelation that says, this is Messiah. This is Savior. This is God come to earth. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. When we encounter God, when we get into his presence, it changes everything. Dave, would you come and tell us that was it Thursday night? We had a leadership meeting. I've forgotten. All the days are running to one this week. And Dave just sort of brought a bit of a prophetic word to us as a leadership team on Zoom, and it really just almost was the course of our meeting. It just set the tone for us. And so I've just said to Dave, just come and share it. Since then, he's been saying, oh, there's so much more I could say, but, you know, it grows, doesn't it, Dave?
Since Gareth asked me just before the service, I've been trying to not think about it because I almost don't want my mind to kind of wander off and actually, so, but it kind of has started as we've been coming back to being here. And it's been exciting, and the challenge of almost finding new ways to worship and things. And I've just been having this dialogue with God, not a picture. I kind of say it, not a picture, because sometimes I can say a picture, and actually I don't have a picture, but been creating this dialogue of a picture, and almost feel like actually that's maybe a word for someone that feels I have to have a picture. You don't. What you have to have is a conversation with God. But anyway, that's an aside. But having this dialogue with God and just this dialogue about almost imagining, you know, like a swimming pool. And like often swimming pools have this big glass wall that you can see in from outside. Or like at the Folkestone Centre, you know, you've got that balcony that you can look into the swimming pool. But like we quite often go to caravan parks to on holiday. And one of the things you do on the first day is you wander around. And you go and wander and look through that big glass window at the swimming pool and get excited about going swimming with the water chutes and the whatever there is there. And I've just been having this conversation with God about it and almost challenged that as we come and join together and worship, that we're kind of coming and we're bringing each other to this window often, and we're looking in on kind of God's kind of that spiritual world. We're looking in on the Holy of Holies. And we're getting excited and we're going, look at that, that looks amazing. And then almost we're not entering in. We're not then going into the swimming pool. We're kind of going, that is amazing. And we're getting joy from watching others, or we're getting joy from remembering back to when we did enter in, and we're telling the story of when we entered in 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And that feeds us till next time that we come and we look in to the swimming pool. We look into the Holy of Holies. We look into God's presence. And I've just been having this conversation with God and this dialogue with God that we want to be going in. We want to be going in. And we want our stories to be of now. We want our revelations to be of now. We want that feeling God's love surrounding us to be of now. We want the being freed from things that bind us up to be now, because we are entering in and we are living in that Holy of Holies, in that spiritual world, you know. And I've almost kind of likened it to, I kind of have then kind of been having a bit conversation with God about almost like in the Old Testament where the priest would have his kind of the rope tied around him. And I'm just imagining people gathering round to watch the priest go in anticipation of the priest coming back out again. And then in the New Testament, that curtain has been torn, it's been taken away, and we can freely walk in. And it's almost like we've changed the curtain for a glass window so that it's not separate. We can see in. How amazing, we can see in. But it shouldn't be a glass window. It should be open. We should enter in, and we should live in that place.
I think that's what happened to Peter on that day. He stopped being a spectator and he had a revelation of what it means to be in the presence of God. And the challenge for us this morning is, and it may be you've never been into the presence of God like that, and you've been watching other people worshiping and saying, wow, this is cool, but I don't really understand it. Or maybe like Dave, you know, you're remembering the times. Dave just said there, you stare in and you tell the stories of the time when you went on these big slides or whatever it might be in a pool. And well, this morning I want to challenge you. Let's get rid of the stuff that we're holding on to, whether that be determination or education or networking or anything else. You know, whatever it might be that is of value to you, but it stops you getting into the presence of Jesus. It's saying, God, this morning I lay that down. I let go of that. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says this, without faith it's impossible to please God. This is all about us putting our trust in Him. John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is us saying, Jesus, I need you. I cannot do this myself. It's us saying, like Peter suddenly recognizes there's something supernatural going on and I don't know what it is. The fish are in the boat, how did they get there? And maybe that's our, almost we're looking and saying there's something supernatural, but I don't know what it is. Well, this morning my challenge is, you know, here's the moment to go into the presence of God, to commit ourselves to saying, God, I am going to give myself to you. The other stuff, I need to let go. Humble ourselves and like Peter say, God, forgive me, a sinner. I'm not worthy. Get rid of our pride. What's the thing that you need to lay down this morning? What you're holding on to that prevents you from breaking through into the supernatural realm? God, please help me lay down the supernatural and pick up the supernatural. Lay down the natural and pick up the supernatural. We can work hard all night like Peter. But here's the thing. Peter's response when Jesus says, put your nets down is, but if you say so, if you say so, I'll put the nets out again. You know, you're sort of reading between the lines. It almost feels like he's doing it a bit reluctantly. You know, I don't know. We're reading an English translation of a Greek, you know, text. But it feels to me like, but if you say so, Jesus. But he does it. And maybe it's a bit reluctant this morning, but in obedience to Jesus, we're going to come and say, but if you say so, I'll put that down. I'll lay that aside. I'll come into your presence. We're going to sing a fantastic song. And it's about being in the presence of God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And as we do so, I just want us to be responding to Jesus. If you're in that place where you remember what it was once like to be in His presence, well, maybe it's time to get on your knees this morning and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. If you've never known, like Peter this morning, just say, but if you say so, if you don't know what it's like. But the challenge for every one of us is this challenge that Peter had of, he went out in the boat thinking Jesus was a great teacher, but he came back knowing he was Messiah. He went out in the boat in the natural strength. I know what to do to be a fisherman. And he came back humbled because he knew that there's so much more than this. God, we pray this morning that you would just visit us right now. Reveal to us, Father, in whatever way it needs, Father, reveal yourself to us. Father, we just invite you to come right now and just inhabit us as individuals, inhabit us as a group of believers. As we sing and as we worship, Father, we pray you do something incredible and supernatural in this place, that we could have the revelation that Peter had and that millions of others have had through the years. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing. Heidi's going to lead us.